Need.
It is summertime.
Hey, if I could do it from here, he can do it. No, I'm kidding.
We appreciate you, Laura.
I'm kidding. All right, Chairman, it is 7:30.
Good to go. All right. The Zoning Board of Adjustment meeting will please come to order. Adequate notice of this meeting was provided in the following ways. Notice published in the Courier News, notice posted on the bulletin board of the municipal building, notice made available to the township clerk, notice sent to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Weissman?
Here.
Mr. Patel?
Yes, here.
I see you, Kalpesh. Mr. Blatt's not here. Mr. Hidaka?
Here.
Mr. Mitterondo?
Here.
And Chairman Cahill?
Here. Will everyone please stand for the salute to the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Keneally, are there any changes to the agenda this evening?
Yes, there are. The application of Arnaldo Peraza, 1438 West 4th Street, is adjourned until September 8, 2022, with no further notice by the applicant. The second change is JR Ventures, LLC, 136 11th Street, that is postponed until August 11th, and they must notice. Those are the changes that I have this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Keneally. Let us proceed to item number 6, 22-ZB-45V, Michelle Lombardi.
Is Ms. Lombardi present?
I am.
Hi, I need to swear you in. Could you raise your hand? Do you swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Your name and address, please.
Michelle Lombardi, 76 Carlton Avenue, Piscataway, New Jersey.
Thank you. Ms. Lombardi, could you explain to the board what you'd like to do here?
I'd like to put a patio over an existing concrete patio in my backyard.
Okay. You broke up a little bit when I heard you. You said you wanted to put a roof of some sort over the existing patio?
Stella B.
Patio cover.
Join the meeting.
Roof over an existing concrete patio in the backyard.
Mr. Chairman, you may want to check with Mr. Hinterstein.
Yes, Henry, you had any comments about this application?
He's logging on now. Give him one second. All right, I see him. All right.
There you go. Henry, unmute yourself, please.
I'm sorry, what was that, Sean?
I was wondering if you had any comments or questions about this application.
We're on the Michelle Lombardi application, 76 Carlton Avenue.
I do not. Let's see here. Nope, there are not.
Okay. Anyone else on the board have any questions or comments for this application? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public portion have any questions or comments about this application? Ms. Buckley?
No one, Chairman.
No one? Okay.
Ms. Lombardi had requested that we prepare a resolution for adoption at tonight's meeting. So I have a resolution of approval that is before you. If we need a motion and a second and a roll call.
Okay. With the public portion closed at this point, I would make a motion to approve this application. Can I get a second? Thank you. Please call the roll, Laura.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterondo?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Lombardi, your application has been approved and the resolution has been adopted.
Very much.
Good luck. Welcome. Have a great night.
Have a good night.
You also.
Let's move on down to item number 7, 22-CB-13V, Craig Myrna.
Is Mr. Myrna present?
Yes.
Mr. Myrna, I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand? You swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Your name and address, please.
Craig Myrna, 365 Matt Lars Lane, Piscataway.
Thank you. Could you explain to the board what you'd like to do here?
I'd like to do our addition of appraisal level.
Mr. Myrna, this is Andrew Ulrich for the applicant. Mr. Myrna, why don't you explain to the board what the house looks like now and then and the improvements that you're going to make?
So what I want to do is add second floor, master bedroom, bathroom, two bedrooms and a bathroom to improve the house.
And Mr. Myrna, we're seeking variance relief tonight. There's various requirements that we're asking the board to waive. Are any of those requirements that we're asking the board to waive, is that anything created by your current project, or were those already existing when you bought the house?
Already existing.
So for example, there's a requirement of a 15-foot side yard setback, and you're proposing a 4-foot side yard setback, but that's because the structure is already 4 feet from the setback, is that correct?
Correct.
Similarly, with the 100-foot lot width that is required, and your proposed 77 feet, that is because the existing structure, the existing lot width is 77 feet, correct?
Correct.
Mr. Ulrich, I believe the board understands that the rest of the variances are existing.
Understood.
Thank you.
Would you like us to address the memorandum from Mr. Hinterstein?
Yes, that would be great.
Cutting to the chase, my client has really no issue with any of these items, but number three, the request that there be a step in from the side of the building, I think would change the character of these improvements so much that I don't know if the maybe the applicant can explain why that's a difficult requirement.
Yes, so what I want to do is put the master bedroom on that side that's encroaching that property, but as we're going right on top, if I move that over, then I lose that whole master suite, which I don't really want to do.
We understand. Henry, do you have an issue with that?
Well, yeah, the issue is, again, I understand what the intent is. The problem is that you have an existing home here that's only 4 feet from the side property line. And now what we're doing is we're putting a second story, increasing the mass. And now instead of just one story structure adjacent to the property line, 4 feet away, now we're gonna have a 2.5 foot, you know, a two story structure that's right on the property line practically. So again, and typically in these situations, just because there's an existing structure that's perhaps, you know, closer to the front yard setback or closer to the side yard setback, understandable, it was there. He didn't purchase the home, he didn't build a home like that. But to exacerbate this situation by increasing the mass that you have in a non-conforming location, you know, I that's the issue. Again, you know, and I didn't look at it this close, but from what I'm seeing is it appears that addition, two-story addition is just over a portion of the house. It's not completely over the rest of the house. That's to the right-hand side. So perhaps that could be shifted. Perhaps those bedrooms could be, you know, switched around in a way that, you know, won't exacerbate the side yard setback. And I'm not telling him he has to necessarily redesign it here, but you know, I think there should be some exploration to see if that addition could be somehow modified so that it steps back away from the side property line.
Mr. Myrna, I will tell you that 99% of the time we follow the advice and the recommendations of our township engineers and experts. So if there was some way you could live with their recommendation, I think you would find a very favorable application this evening.
You want to take a minute to think about it, or?
Well, I can't move over to the left side because it has a, my dining room is there and it has a vaulted ceiling. So I would lose that ceiling height. And my walls are only 7 foot on that side. So I would lose that whole space.
Mr. Myrna is a home improvement contractor. Obviously the aesthetics of the home and what it looks like to the public reflects on his business, but which I think him and his family have been in that business in this town for generations.
Yep, born and raised.
Why don't you do this? It sounds to me that there has not been a discussion with Henry in terms of whatever alternatives were considered and why they were rejected. It might behoove everyone to sit down and talk about how you went through this and why all the issues that Henry has raised are there. I think it might make sense to take 30 days and talk it over.
I agree, yeah. Mr. Chadwick, quite honestly.
Just before you make that decision, I mean, I'm looking at this and understand that, you know, aesthetically and perhaps you prefer to have a vaulted ceiling in your dining room. But again, maybe it's a matter of picking your choosing. If you want the addition, step it back. Perhaps you put a normal ceiling in the dining room. You have all of that room on the dining room that you could technically probably move the second floor over if that ceiling wasn't vaulted. It really allows you to improve on that setback. And I'm not saying you have to do it completely. Again, maybe it just needs a couple of feet. There needs to be an improvement instead of making this worse. That's what I'm telling you, you know.
I just want to know why it's an issue on that side if it's already been a house already there. Are you worried about...
The house that's there now, how high is the roof? 15 feet? 16, it's one story. Now you're trying to make it two stories over there. So, you know, it's like anything. So now residents in that house or that homeowner, whether it's current or in the future, instead of having a single story mass in one story house, 4 feet from their property line, now you're blocking more of the air, light, and open space that this house is sort of gonna, you know, have because you're creating a more solid and a higher wall on that that property line.
We'll carry the if there's no objection by the board, we can adopt the board member's suggestion to work on the issue with the township's professionals over the next 30 days.
That's
okay, so probably the best. Meeting is August 11th. That's acceptable.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Older.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, we're going to adjourn the Craig Myrna application until August 11th with no further notice. Anybody here on that matter, it will be heard on August 11th with no further notice. The only notice you're receiving is my announcement here tonight.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Move on to item number 8, 22-ZB-43V. Christian Spengler and Marcella Salandriga.
Yes, I'm Christine Spengler.
Ms. Spengler, could you raise your right hand? Do you swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Could I have your name and address, please?
Sure, Christine Spengler, 115 Walnut Street.
Thank you. Could you explain to the board what you'd like to do here?
We want to replace our existing front stairs and also the retaining wall in the front of the house, as well as the fence that's there. Not moving anything, just where it is now.
Mr. Chairman, you may want to talk to Mr. Henderson
about it. Yeah, Henry, can you go over your site impact on this?
I mean, with this particular application, again, I understand it's an older home and the wall was placed inside the right of way. So it falls 1 or 2 feet inside the right of way. So if the wall is being replaced, I don't see why the wall can't be relocated outside the right of way, move just 1 or 2 feet back. Don't have an issue with it being right on the property line. Do have an issue with it being in the right of way, because if a car were to hit it, then it becomes an issue that now the township has may have some liability when it comes to that wall located in the township right of way. So again, as you know from the past, I typically don't give variances for things to be located, structures, walls, anything of that nature, to be located in the township right of way for residential properties or commercial properties.
No, I agree. If
the wall's being rebuilt, I don't see why it couldn't be rebuilt in a conforming location. Step back another foot and a half, whatever it is, to keep it outside of that right of way line. Otherwise, I don't see really any big issues with this application. It's really just that issue.
Okay. Ms. Spengler, if you're okay with that, I think we can move ahead with a vote after we talk to the public.
Okay. I guess my only concern is then the stairs are still going to meet up with the wall. So wouldn't that still be in the right of way with the stairs? I don't know how that would work, because the stairs are now, it meets the wall exactly. So if I move the wall back, wouldn't the stairs still be further out?
Steps,
I'm not sure.
Steps off your house, come down, and there's a little bit of a walk, and then another set of steps where the wall is. So that space would maybe be a little bit more compacted. You might have the steps of the house, a shorter walk, and you still could have the steps coming down connected to the wall. Nothing would be in the right way. It really is just compressing the amount of space between your existing stairs, which I know are also way out into the front yard. So that walk in between the two sets of steps would just be compressed, I think, a little bit. And again, I don't think you're that far off with the wall. I think you're maybe only a foot and a half into the right of way. So it may just have to be pushed back slightly.
So you're suggesting about 2 feet? Because when the contractor wants to do it.
Wherever the property line is, you can go up to the property line, just not within the right of way. Yeah.
Okay, so, I'm confused. Where's the property line end? I'm sorry. I really don't know.
Typically, it's about 10 feet from the face of the curb.
Okay.
But your survey should show that. You might want to get your surveyor to stake it out based on your in your survey. This way you know for sure.
Okay, so there would be no... one of the things that's on this is the fence. So it would be okay to replace it with a 6-foot fence?
Yeah, I don't see any issue with your fence in the location that it's in. I know it requires a variance because of location, but the way the house is oriented, set back far enough that it's in line with it's further back than the actual front corner of your house. I just don't see a huge issue with the way the fence is situated right now. In this particular location and the way the houses are sort of oriented on an angle.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments? Any other members know? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any questions or comments about this application? Buckley?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion, and I'd make a motion to approve the application. Okay, call the roll.
Excuse me, losing my voice. Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Haydaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterondo?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Spengler, your application as amended has been approved. As amended means you're going to rebuild the wall outside of the right of way. We'll memorialize a resolution in our next meeting and mail that to you. You don't need to be there.
Okay, thank you so much.
Have a good night, ma'am.
Have a good night. Thank you.
Let's move on to item number 922-ZB-47V, James Fuller.
Is Mr. Fuller present?
You're muted, Mr. Fuller.
Yes, thank I am. You. I'm present.
Mr. Fuller, I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear the testimony you're about to give to me the truth?
Yes.
Could I have your name and address, please?
James Fuller. 69 Wynans Avenue, Piscataway, New Jersey.
Thank you, Mr. Fuller. Could you explain to the board what you'd like to do here?
Yes. Me and my wife bought this property in 1984. My wife passed away 6 years ago. All my children are grown. We've been in Piscataway all their lives. And everybody's grown now, so I'm selling the house. I currently have a buyer, but the garage, it was converted to a bedroom when we bought the house. And the shed is a foot and a half off of the property line. And I'm just asking for relief so I could process the sale of my house.
How many off-street parking spots do you have, Mr. Fuller?
Off? I didn't hear that.
How many off-street parking spots do you have? How many cars can you park in your driveway?
Two.
Mr. Chairman, you may want to talk to Mr. Henderson.
Yes, Henry, do you have any comments or questions about this?
Well, there's a couple of things that the township's planning on doing some future road work there, and they're looking for a temporary construction easement along Winans Avenue. That's one item. I guess, is there any reason why the shed can't be relocated to a conforming location?
I'm selling the property, and I would have to take the shed down. You know, I could take it. It could be taken down.
It's not in a condition where it could just be relocated?
I would say no. No.
And then the other issue is that the RSIS requires 2.5 spaces for a residential home of 4 bedrooms. So the additional bedroom that is being created in the house, or that was converted from the garage, results in the need for more off-street parking for this application, which it appears there's only 2 spaces currently off-street. And I was wondering if they could, it appears that you might be able to add to the driveway, to the right of the driveway.
Well, there's a 40-foot tree there and a utility pole. So the wide in the driveway to the right would require the removing the utility pole and the tree.
Well, the utility pole is a little bit further down, but if you tell me that tree is in the way,
yeah.
There's no way to move it to the left of the property?
To the left? To the left of the driveway?
Yeah, or a little bit.
No, there's a walkway. No, there's not enough space. You would have to see that. I mean, it's a typical bi-level.
Right.
There's not enough space going to the left.
I mean, it seems like there's some constraints here for the driveway. I don't have a big issue. It appears that there is on-street parking available.
Yes.
In front of the home.
Yes.
My biggest issue is, you have any issue providing the township with the 10-foot construction easement in front of the property?
What is that? I don't quite understand what that is. I know what an easement is, but when you say
it would be a temporary construction easement. So the town in the future plans on maybe redoing the curb, perhaps adding sidewalks, and the right of way that's there is sufficient, but in case they need a little bit extra room during construction, that they can access the area and then restore it back in kind after the construction. So that's really just temporary, and it's only if they do construction, and that's something that the township would prepare the easement language, and you could have review it and have your attorney review it. And there's no cost, obviously, to you for that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that the township typically looks upon, you know, favorably when there's going to be future road work on this street in front of the home.
So there's another with the easement. I mean, of course, I would agree to the easement, but the buyer that's I'm in contract with, they're locked into an interest rate of up until August 3rd. So we would like to close before the 3rd of August. I don't know how the procedure with the easement. How long would that take?
Tim, I don't even think you're going to have a resolution to this, correct, Tim?
The resolution is going to be considered on August 11th.
Okay.
I think you're going to have to push that because even if you have an approval tonight, it won't be memorialized until the 11th of August. And I think there's a good chance in that time frame, hopefully that the easement issue could be resolved.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if it's under contract, Jim, if that causes any issues. There's no easement on the property currently. And it's
it has not changed hands yet, so it's still his house. So he could sign the easement documents. So, Mr. Fuller, that easement language, the temporary easement's acceptable to you?
Yes.
Thank you.
How much footage are we, I'm just curious. How much footage?
I believe it's 10 feet across the front of the property.
Oh, okay, 10 foot back.
Yeah.
Set back. Okay. No, I don't have a problem with that.
Okay. Anybody else? You'll be required to get any building permits that are necessary for the garage conversion. I assume that.
Yes. Was already yes. Can I start that process tomorrow?
Sure can.
Okay.
So we've got to get the approval tonight, sir.
Okay.
Let's put the car before the horse. Okay. That's all right. No, you're looking good, but you're not over the finish line yet.
All right.
Are there any other questions or comments from any other members of the board? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public portion have any questions or comments about this application? Ms. Buckley?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, hearing none, I'm going to close the public portion and I'm going to make a motion to approve this application.
I'll second.
Thank you, Catfish.
Call roll?
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Mr. Fuller, your application has been approved.
Thank you, Chair. Chair members, thank you.
Good luck with the sale.
Thank you.
Let's move on to item number 10, 22-CB-46V, Stella Lee.
Hello. Hi, this is Stella.
Hello, Ms. Lee. Could you raise your right hand? I need to swear you in. You swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth.
Yes.
Your name and address, please.
Stella Lee. 600 Maple Avenue, Piscataway.
Thank you. Could you explain to the board what you'd like to do here?
I would like to install a 6-foot privacy fence in the backyard.
Hey, Mr. Hinterstein, could you go over the site impact for this particular application?
Similar to the last case, we are looking for a 5-foot temporary construction easement. Along Lakeview Avenue. I think there may be some future plans to do some work on both Lakeview Avenue and Maple Avenue. So again, we would look for temporary construction easement on both frontages because this is a corner property. There's a good chance there's gonna be some future road work there. Again, it would be temporary just during the construction in case they need to encroach on the property 5 feet from the property line. And that's one item. And the second item is because the corner isn't a traditional 90 degree intersection on your side of the street, it's a little bit more of an acute angle. It makes it a little bit difficult to see as the traffic's coming down. So my suggestion was that after your first 42 feet of your fence that you're proposing is to articulate it slightly and angle it back that it actually comes back an additional 2 feet from where you show it, so that it's 17 feet back instead of 15 feet back from that property line. And this way you will help, I think, with that site visibility along Lakeview Avenue.
Okay.
Quite a bit.
So in other words, instead of our original plan of 16 feet, I move it back to 60 feet from Lakeview, it will be okay?
No. So
is that what you were saying?
Basically, we have your fence located near the house is fine. And you can go 42 feet out from the house as you start running down Lakeview Avenue. But then after the first 42 feet, you want to step the fence back slightly, view that angle a little bit so that the end of the fence where it meets your neighbor's property line, to the rear, instead of 15 feet back, it's 17 feet back in that corner.
Okay. Now, I don't understand about the 42 feet from the house, from the back of the house or the front of the house?
We got a survey here that...
The 44 feet, is it from Maple Avenue or is it from the house?
This is really just all about Lakeview Avenue. So you see how you have your fence starting at that walkway in the back of your house?
The walkway?
You show the fence 19 feet back, correct?
Right.
From Lakeview Avenue property line.
Yes, that's near the AC unit.
Right.
And by the papers.
And if you go further to the end of the property, it's shown as 15 feet, correct?
Yeah, I can move it to 17, no problem.
Right, so if you want, you could just move it that back corner to 17 and put it in a straight line, or you could go 42 feet and then angle it to the 17 foot mark is all I was saying. Either way is fine with me. As long as that back corner is 17 and it's on a straight line, that's perfectly acceptable. So you go from 19 to 17 instead of 19 to 15.
Right.
Oh, okay. So it's a straight line. So the point that I didn't understand was about this 42
feet.
Okay. No problem. I can move it from 19 and then the corner 17, no problem.
Correct.
And you're talking about a 6-foot privacy fence, correct?
Correct.
Okay. We can do that, sure.
Any other comments?
Are you okay with the 5-foot temporary construction easement?
I don't understand that either. What is the 5-foot easement?
The township plans to do some road work, maybe curbs, work on the streets. They would have to step onto your property. So giving them a 5-foot temporary easement during the construction would allow them to step onto your property. If they hurt any grass or any shrubs, they'll restore that. And once the construction is done, the easement's over.
No problem.
Okay. Any other comments or questions from anyone else on the board? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public portion have any comments or questions about this application? Ms. Buckley?
No one, Chairman.
Okay. I'm going to close the public portion and I'm going to make a motion to approve this application. Can I get a second?
Can I ask a question?
Sure, ma'am.
What's going to happen now? We are going to receive a letter or something?
Let's get through the vote first, ma'am, and then we'll answer all your questions at that point. Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, CalPERS. Call the roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterondo?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Lee, to answer your question, your application has now been approved as amended with Mr. Hinterstein. We will memorialize this decision at our next meeting on August 11th. You don't need to be present for that. But that document will be mailed to you and you'll need that document to get your permits.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, ma'am. Good luck.
Everyone.
Okay, let's move on to item number 11, 22-ZB-58V. And that's NYS MSA Limited Partnership, Verizon Wireless.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. Richard Schneider of the law firm of Vogel, Chait, Collins, and Schneider on behalf of the applicant. I can do this very concisely, Mr. Chairman. If there's any questions, I'll be glad to answer them, but I'll give hopefully the abbreviated version.
We appreciate that.
The matter before you tonight is a request for an interpretation under both the municipal land use law and section 6409 of the Middle Class Tax Relief Act. Summarily, approximately 30 years ago, Verizon obtained approval to construct a wireless communication facility at the water tank located on the subject property. That approval granted them the right to install 12 antennas. More recently, back in 2017, the number of antennas was reduced to 9 as a pursuant to a approval that actually an interpretation that was granted by this board. Due to technological reasons, the applicant is now seeking to increase the number of antennas back to the original authorized 12 antennas. Critically, for purposes of this application, none of the new antennas or additional related appurtenances will increase the height of the existing antennas. They will all remain at the existing maximum height. There is no change to the ground equipment located at the subject property. And all other conditions remain in full force and effect. Most significantly, there's no variance approval that is required in conjunction with this matter. Therefore, summarily under the municipal land use law, because we are not increasing the height of the structure by 10 feet, by more than 10%, in fact, we're not increasing it at all, and because we're not increasing the compound beyond 2,500 square feet or the width of the structure, we qualify under the municipal land use law. And for the reasons more comprehensively detailed in our application, we meet all of the requirements of the federal statute 6409. And for those reasons, concisely, we would ask for your approval to grant the requested interpretation based on the plan submitted.
And Mr. Cahill, they have also submitted the requisite proof that the structure can handle the new antennas and that these new antennas will satisfy the radio frequency standards of the United States.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I've reviewed the plans as well, and I agree with the statements made that it does not increase height. And the only recommendation I have is if you grant the request that it be subject to all prior conditions.
Thank you, Mr. Chadwick. Any other members of the board have any questions for this application? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any comments or questions about this application?
Okay. No one, Chairman.
Okay. I'm going to close the public portion and make a motion to approve this application. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Kalpesh. Call the roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Haydaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Mr. Schneider, we will memorialize this at our next meeting on August 11th.
Thank you. Good seeing you, John.
Right. Good night, sir. Okay, let's move on to item number 12, 22-ZB-29V, BJ Singha.
Mr. Singhal or Mr. Arch, are you present?
I am present. Thank you, members of the board and board professionals. My name is Tim Arch. I'm an attorney licensed in the state of New Jersey. I'm here representing VJ Singhal, who is also present. We are asking for variance relief for 446 Second Street for the purpose of building a single family home on the lot. The lot is rather small, it's undersized. There are some existing variances for lot area, for lot width, lot depth, and lot frontage. Those are existing. We are not doing anything to modify those. Those are the constraints of the lot. We are asking for variances for building coverage, side yard setback, rear yard setback, and encroachment of a accessibility ramp into the rear yard, although that may have been that may not be needed based on our redesign, but I'm not positive, but just be on the safe side. I'm mentioning that as well. A little bit of background. This is a when we initially put the application in, we had one set of plans, and based on Mr. Hinterstein's review and the township professionals' review, we actually revised those plans, and the new revisions I think significantly address any of the issues that Mr. Hinterstein had on it. I don't want to I want to keep the pattern of efficiency tonight, so
appreciate it.
Thank you. So I'm going to move on to our first witness, who is Mr. VJ Singhal. I would ask that he be sworn in to testify.
Mr. Singhal, yes. Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Your name and address, please.
VJ Singhal, 262 Pinelli Drive, Piscataway, New Jersey.
Thank you.
Mr. Singhal, you're the owner of the property, correct? And you want to,
yes.
And you want to build a house on the property?
Yes.
And this is going to be a multi-generational house, correct? How many people are going to live in it?
So So my dad, who is 93, is going to live with me. Then I myself live with me, and I have a handicapped daughter, which is 22-year-old. Primarily, I'm making that house to improve her quality of life.
Okay. And that's your daughter there with you, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And what's her name?
Pooja Singhal.
Okay. And I understand that she has a medical condition, and that's primarily the reason that you've designed the house the way that you have. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit what the medical condition is that she has, and what the resulting symptoms are?
She born with some very, very rare disease, which like a lot of people has not seen. It's called epidermolysis bullosa, which forms a blister on her entire body. Without being doing anything, you can see that she has the dressing wrapped up on entire her body. So she is like completely on the wheelchair, like zero mobility. She cannot eat anything. She cannot drink anything. She cannot talk. She cannot walk. So from last 5 years, we were looking the lot of houses, but we couldn't find anything which caters her need in the wheelchair. So then somebody suggested that we should build the house according to her need. I'm almost living in Piscataway over 20 years. So I love the town. So I want to remain in the town.
Thank you, Vijay. And so part of the, it's a, not mince words, it's a rather large accommodating house, but partly that's because you need to accommodate a wheelchair and somebody helping her out, pushing the wheelchair as well, because if she makes any contact, it can be very painful. Is that correct? If she makes contact with walls or scrapes against anything.
So her condition is described even fragile than butterfly. So if little bit like fraction can cause the blistering on her body, which can be filled with the blood or water.
Okay. And so the variances that we're asking for is really to accommodate the size of the interior of the house in order to accommodate your daughter, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Singhal. That's all the questions I have for Mr. Singhal at this moment.
Anyone else on the board have any questions for Mr. Singhal? Okay. You put on your next witness?
Our next witness is Mr. John DuPont. He is our engineer, as well as he's a certified professional planner. Or licensed professional planner.
Mr. DuPont, could you raise your right hand? You swear the testimony about the issue to the truth?
I do.
Your name and address, please.
I'm sorry, say credentials?
Your name and address, and then credentials.
Okay. John P. DuPont, 756 Jackson Road, Stewartsville, New Jersey.
And
so credentials. Professional engineer. I have a BS in civil engineering from University of Hartford. I am a licensed professional engineer in the state of New Jersey, as well as a certified municipal engineer, as well as a professional planner. I've served for the borough of Carteret as a planner and zoning board, engineer and planner for the past 23 years.
Mr. Chairman, I believe Mr. DuPont could be accepted as
qualifications are fine. Please proceed, Mr. Arch.
Mr. DuPont, if you can please just take us through the sort of the revised plan and sort of touch upon the variances that we're hitting briefly, please.
I will. If I could share my screen.
Please do.
Share screen there. Okay. You see the cover sheet now?
Yes.
I'm going to try to go. There we go. So very briefly, you've heard, you're seeing sheet number two of our set. And basically it's the existing house, right? So there's an existing house on the property, as you heard, with a detached garage. Several variances currently exist. You have lot area, lot width, lot depth, front yard setback, as well as side yard setbacks. The lot's currently 0.3 acres. So it is in fact undersized. So as we looked to this project, the applicant, now I'm showing you sheet three. If you like, I could certainly zoom in. But what the applicant's proposing is to demolish the existing dwelling and the garage and reconstruct a new single family home. A couple of the variances are gonna stay intact. It's still gonna be lot area, lot width, lot depth, still remain. However, we're pushing this house back to meet the front yard setback. So we're meeting the 50 foot to match the neighborhood. We also are looking at improving the side yard setbacks. Currently, one side yard setback is 14.5 feet. We have now improved that to 15.12. Small improvement, but improvement nonetheless. The lot coverage for this proposed home does go above the exceedance. So instead of 20%, we're at now 21.3%, so we're a little over. And then the rear setback, instead of being 50, we're 45 and a half feet. And that is from the deck. So a couple of things from an engineering standpoint. It's a relatively flat piece of property. This project did in fact increase the impervious coverage by 0.04 acres. So still a minor stormwater management project. But as we did the drainage and grading design, we took a good look at the adjacent properties. Now the property to the rear, and I'll show you an exhibit later, the property to the rear is a wooded lot. So a nice thick buffer, no issue to the rear. On both the east and west side, there are single family homes. Previously, there was runoff to both sides, mainly more to the east, but there was runoff to both. The roof leaders weren't collected, the garage wasn't collected, the driveway wasn't collected. In this proposed design now, we are collecting all the roof leaders from 100% of the roof, and we designed a seepage pit, and we graded the proposed driveway to the front. So we think we've over-designed it, been really conservative, and account for 100% of the increase. We are reducing significantly the runoff to both adjoining properties. We feel we made a good improvement with respect to drainage. Now, as we still talk about drainage, Mr. Hinterstein had a comment in his review letter that we currently show the proposed seepage pit in the rear of the property. Mr. Hinterstein made a good suggestion. Move it up front and then tie the overflow into the existing inlet. So we have no problem. We looked at that. That is very reasonable to do. We think we could do that, no problem. So a couple other things in Mr. Hinterstein's letter that I think we should address, just because we want to make sure we address everything. Comment one was no problem. Comment number two talked about the proposed deck. And Mr. Hinterstein suggested that we shorten the deck up 2 feet to improve the rear setback. We would like to keep that deck there. We've already reduced the house and reduced the deck. There's a thick wooded buffer that I will show you right now. This is this sheet, if you can see, is a exhibit not submitted to the board. Perhaps we have to mark this sheet.
Yeah, that should be marked as A1 with today's date, and you should supply it. Paper copy that to the board for our file.
Okay, so A1. And if you see our properties right here in red, we have it hatched, and you see the large wooden buffer in the rear. So we feel that there's a sniffing buffer there. There'll be no adverse visual impacts for the 2 extra feet on that deck. I think that's where we are now. It's a reasonable request. You also see on this property, on this exhibit rather, that the existing home was right up against the right-of-way. It was very, very close to the street, totally out of character of the neighborhood. This proposed design now, we moved it back to the 50 feet, and now we match the pattern of the neighborhood. And we even talk about the home. The lot's a little smaller, so there's restrictions on, and I'm talking simply from engineering right now. The lot has restrictions. Right. It has lot area, lot depths. And there's a couple of variances that are required, but they're required because there's the reduced size of a lot. This house is certainly in scale with the neighborhood. And we've measured both, the intent of the ordinance is a 25 foot side yard setback. That's the requirement. When we designed this house and now placed this house and reduced it, so we do have 25, well, we actually have 50 feet from our home to the adjoining homes. So we think we meet the intent. And I'm going to go back to the proposed grading. So that was the second thing. We will move the dry well, not a problem. Also, Mr. Hinterstein talked about a low point on the eastern side of the property, right where my cursor is. And there is. There's an existing low point there now. Water definitely collects there now and perhaps may even sit there. But we are significantly reducing the drainage area to that. And we think it's not going to be an issue. We're taking more than half the drainage area to that spot and eliminating. So we will certainly look at it. We'll certainly work with your professional staff and satisfy them. But we think we've addressed that. But we will certainly work with them if approved. And the final thing is that the percentage on the lot coverage, the engineering site plan you have in front of you shows 21.3. The architectural plan shows 21.1. The architectural plan shows 21.3. So I would say that we'll stick with the 21.3 would be the variance. So from an engineering standpoint, it's a pretty simple project. Certainly listen to your staff. We can comply with Mr. Hinterstein's July 12th letter. We'll gladly work with your staff on the drainage. And from an engineering standpoint, that's all I have. I'll be back later as a planner, but I think from engineering, that's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, you may want to see if Mr. Hinterstein has any comments on that.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Henry, could you address the statement by Mr. DuPont?
Yeah, I just wanted to go over, still a couple of comments that weren't addressed, and that's, I assume you don't have any issue with the providing the township right-of-way dedication, slope easement, in conformance with, road improvement plans that are already, I think, developed for that road.
We have absolutely no concern, no problem with that.
I can actually address that. I believe those have already actually been dedicated and recorded.
And what about the installation? And well, I think you're not going to have a choice about the installation of the curb and the sidewalk. I think that's an ordinance.
We agree to that.
So, okay. I think that really is, and you're willing to work with us on that low spot. Yeah, if you're, everything else is fine.
Okay. Great. Any other members of the board have any questions for this, Mr. DuPont? Hearing none, let's move on to your next witness.
Okay, Mr. DuPont, if you can just stop sharing your screen. And our next witness is Mr. Mark Marcille. He is our architect.
Good evening.
Could you raise your right hand? You swear the testimony you're about to give to the truth?
Yes, sir.
Your name and address, please.
Mark Marcille, M-A-R-C-I-L-L-E, 505 Main Street, Metuchen, New Jersey.
Thank you.
If you can just go over your credentials briefly and...
I'm a licensed architect in the state of New Jersey since 2004. My license is in good standing, and I've testified before numerous boards.
Mr. Chairman, that seems sufficient.
Proceed, Mr. Arch.
Mr. Marcille, if you can please just let us know the features of the house and briefly take us through why it is that they're required for the specific design and circumstances of Mr. Singhal and his daughter.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, understanding the lot's a little undersized and the house is a little bit larger than what would be allowed on this lot, we took great care in trying to reduce the visual scale of the home as seen from the street. We kept the roof lines as low as possible. The overall roof height is just under 28 feet. We reduced the width of the front of the house by pushing the garage, the front wall of the garage, back from the front of the house to make the front of the house appear narrower and therefore appear smaller. We introduced the front porch, also reducing the visual scale of the house, and push the second floor walls back from, you know, further back than the front floor walls, front first floor walls, again, in order to reduce that scale. The interior layout, I'd be happy to answer any questions, but we took great care in trying to make the common areas spacious enough to accommodate the required wheelchair access. So we have some sort of turning circles shown on the plan just to give you an idea of the spaces we were trying to work with in terms of flowing through the house, but certainly be happy to answer any questions regarding the layout.
Thank you, Mr. Marcille. I think I'll leave it to the board to see if they have any specific questions.
Sure. Henry, any concerns?
No, I think the pared down version of the house that reduced the coverage was adequate. I think the deviation now is relatively de minimis in nature, and definitely better than the previous submittal.
Yeah, by a substantial amount. Any other members of the board have any questions? Hearing none, Mr. Arch.
Thank you. I'd ask Mr. DuPont to now briefly opine his planning testimony for the sake of a complete record.
I will certainly try to keep it brief, but so from a planning standpoint, we are requesting three new variances: lot coverage, side yard setback, and a rear yard setback. We take a look at the first variance, lot coverage. We feel we can support that by the C1 hardship case. As per the MLUL, we're dealing with a piece of property which is undersized in width and depth for the zone. The property currently has a dwelling on it and a detached garage with numerous existing violations. The size of the lot clearly impacts our ability to provide the required lot coverage. It's an existing undersized lot. The existing lot is significantly smaller than the zone allows, but it does exist. And if the lot was consistent with the zone, our proposed dwelling would be far below the 20% coverage. The next two variances, we feel we could obtain the side yard and rear yard using the flexible C2 analysis. Under flexible C2, we must establish that we're dealing with a specific piece of land. The purposes of the MLUL will be advanced. The variances can be granted without substantial detriment to the public good, and the benefits will substantially outweigh the detriments, and the variances will not substantially impact the intent and purpose of the zone plan or the master plan. Again, we mentioned the lot size will impact both the side and rear yard setbacks. The proposed dwelling isn't out of character with the neighborhood in size, but rather the lot size is the contributing factor to both variances. So in order to approve the side and rear yard variances, we need to look at the positive and negative criteria. Positive criteria advances several purposes of the MLUL. Purpose A, to encourage municipal action to guide appropriate land use and development. Purpose C, to provide adequate light, air, and open space as we provide the intent 50 foot between our dwelling and the neighbors. And purpose I, to promote a desirable visual environment through creative design. We were taking the one home that didn't really match. It was too far forward, didn't match the character of the neighborhood. We recessed it, and now we got a new structure. So we're meeting the intent of the ordinance with respect to light, air, and open space. We are improving the visual environment. Clearly, we are in scale with the zone. We are proposing to construct a single family dwelling, which is permitted. Our project will improve over what is there now. It's a better zoning alternative. We are improving the drainage of each adjacent lot. And the rear yard of the property does butt against a heavily wooded area, so we feel there'll be no visual negative impacts. We are going to grant the 5 foot wide dedication up in front of that for the town. So special reasons, we also have that. We've heard the applicant's story and why he's building this home for him and his family. The dwelling isn't oversized. It's built with a very specific purpose. Negative criteria, as far as that goes, I don't see any negative impacts. We're proposing a permitted use. We are meeting and we are in scale with the local requirements. We're eliminating existing violations. Our project will certainly not have any negative impacts on surrounding properties. In fact, we are improving drainage and adjacent properties again. There'll be no substantial detriment to the public good, no substantial detriment to the zone plan or zoning ordinance. I feel the board can grant the approval of this application based on the fact that the benefits of granting the variances requested will substantially outweigh any detriments. This project will not have any detriments to the public good. The MLUL will clearly be advanced, and the intent of the zone plan and zoning ordinance will not substantially be impaired. And that is my abbreviated version.
Thank you, Mr. DuPont.
Thank you, Mr. DuPont.
Any members of the board have any questions for Mr. DuPont? Hearing none, Mr. Arch, surmise?
Thank you. I'll be very quick. I ask that you look at this favorably. I hope that the speed in which we presented it does not undermine the significance that this has to Mr. Singhal and to his daughter. And I would hope that you would grant us the additional 2 feet on the porch that we are asking for and look favorably on the application.
Okay. Anyone have any questions? Anyone on the board? Any comments? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any questions or comments about this application?
No one, Chairman.
Okay. Hearing that, the public portion is closed, and this I would make a motion. Excuse me?
Let me just make one comment.
Go, John.
This is the kind of case where you have to make a balance between your rules and the neighborhood. I think they proved the case. The house will fit the neighborhood much, much better than the existing.
Thank you, John. Appreciate that. I'm going to make a motion to approve this application as is, including the letting the deck remain as presented by the applicant. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Okay, thank you, CalPERS. Can I get a call?
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes. And the applicant requested that I bring in a resolution tonight, so we will present that to the board. You've already voted on it, so it's all good.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Singhal,
thank you.
Do well with your daughter, and we have nothing but prayers and hopes for you both.
Thank you. And we have to put a elevator also in the house because her mobility is zero. That's why it takes even a little more space. So,
understood.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
No, we appreciate it. God bless both of you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Let's move on to item number 14, which is 22-ZB-50, and that's Kingsbridge 2005 LLC.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. This is Jim Spinarkle from Waters McPherson McNeil. I'm the attorney for the applicant. I can give you the quick, you know, the spirit of efficiencies we've been doing tonight. I can summarize and give you, introduce the application. And just for the board's benefit, we have our architect and engineer who are prepared to testify as needed. So essentially, this is a property located at 80 Kingsbridge Road. The owner is essentially working on a tenant fit out for a new tenant coming in. They're proposing to basically use it as permitted use, you know, warehouse distribution. And the main feature of the site plan, we're here for, you know, preliminary and final site plan approval. The main item that we're working for the board's approval on here is to install two loading docks and to make some adjustments to the parking lot right around where the loading docks are to facilitate trucks coming in and out. As noted, it's a permitted use in the zone. We're not adding any square footage to the building or anything like that. The building's about 31,000 square feet or just shy of that. And the applicant, like I said, it's with the idea is to have the setup for a new tenant that they'll be coming in hopefully later this year.
You can go ahead and call your first witness.
Certainly. We've our architect, Paul Newman. Paul, you on, I believe?
Mr. Newman, hello. Can you raise your right hand? Do you swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Your name and address, please.
Paul Newman from 1109 Mount Kimball Road, Harding, New Jersey.
Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Spinarkle.
Mr. Newman, to the extent for the board's benefit, could you just give them quickly your qualifications?
Sure. I have a Bachelor of Architecture from NJIT. I've been a licensed architect at the state of New Jersey for 35 years, and I've appeared in numerous boards, including Piscataway previously.
You can proceed, Mr. Spinarkle.
Thank you.
So Mr. Newman, maybe the easiest way to do this would be if you could just take the board through the site plan and application from an architectural perspective and to the extent applicable from the architectural perspective, touch on any of the comments from Mr. Chadwick, his letter or the other township letter from Mr. Hitterstein.
Yes, it's fairly simple from an architectural perspective. The existing building is on the corner of Kingsbridge Road where it does the curved loop. At present, the rear area is used as a warehouse storage area. There's a physical therapy doctor's office front left, and the area, the primary area shown in orange, has been empty for some time. It used to be a fitness center, and that's the area that the new tenant would like to take. They have requested a couple of loading docks for miscellaneous deliveries, and that's what we're proposing to do in the front lower right-hand corner right here. This is actually a view of that corner space. There's a transformer located at this location, and we would actually put the two loading dock areas in this area right here. We're proposing standard loading docks, 8x8 garage doors that will be basically dark bronze to sort of blend into the building. No other change to the facade at all. The work itself to do those two loading docks is relatively simple. The base of the floor slab is actually already up several feet because there's a slope leading up to the side of the building. So once we remove the dirt area at this space, it actually levels it out at loading dock level. The site engineer will detail further about the work that's being done on that area. But from an architectural perspective, that's really what we're doing. Everything else on the site plan has been planned out by the site engineer who will follow to create a proper loading area at this space. That's really it from an architectural perspective. Simple.
Thank you. Anyone have any questions about this applicant, about this testimony, I should say?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Just quickly, I might have missed it. So the entire building, other than that left-hand portion that's being used by the existing chiropractor, is going to be used for warehousing?
Correct. The rear area is presently used as storage and warehouse area. And we're looking to make this area in the front right also. The tenant will not be solid warehouse, however. There's a multiple use to it. There's some office use, some other type of area, and some storage area. It's just that because of the activity they do, they need a regular deliveries that can come on the back of a truck.
And then the area to the left is going to remain as it's being used currently, correct?
At the moment, yes.
Anything else, Henry?
That's it right now.
Okay. Any other members of the board?
Oh, yes, Steve Weisman. Do we know what's going to be warehoused here?
I'm sorry, can you ask me that?
Yeah, do we know what's going to be warehoused?
I'm not sure the exact area of it. The tenant is working with a different architect for the interior performance, so I'm not sure how much of it. They need a storage area and a loading, unloading area. But it's not 100% warehouse.
What would they be storing, by the way? What commodity?
It's a bio life safety company. So it's small, you know, it's small quantities of things, smaller boxes, as I understand it.
But well, no chemicals?
No.
Okay. Anyone else have any questions? Mr. Spanico, you can put your next witness on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our next witness is our project engineer, Mario Anelli. Mario, I think you're, I saw you on.
Good evening. How are you all?
Good evening. I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand? You swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Your name and address, please.
My name is Mario Anelli. I work for Dewberry. My address is 600 Parsippany Road, Parsippany, New Jersey, and I'm the manager of the land development services at our company.
Thank you.
To give you a benefit of my qualifications, I graduated from NJIT in 1993 with my bachelor's in civil engineering, my master's in civil engineering 2001. I've appeared in front of numerous boards. I've been a licensed civil engineer in the state of New
Jersey. Your credentials are fine, sir. Please proceed.
Thank you. So I think the best way to do this real quick is just to pick up on, and I'm going to be sharing my screen, and right now I'm only sharing things that have been submitted. So it's my understanding we should not have to mark it.
And it was submitted with the original package?
Yes.
It does not need to be separately marked.
So I just want to make sure you're seeing the right screen. I always get nervous because you have multiple screens here. You see the drawing up here right now?
We see a drawing.
Okay, great. So just to give an overview, the campus, like it said, so it was mentioned by the architect, is Kingsbury Road actually wraps 90 degrees. The site currently, this is the existing building I'm highlighting on C103. There's multiple entrances to the site. There's three along, I would say, the north side of Kingsbridge, and there's one on the south, also call it southeast corner. The revisions that we're talking about doing here is basically when we were looking at a place to place a loading dock, this was a natural location because the grade outside is almost exactly what we need. It was a little off, but almost exactly what we needed to create a recessed loading dock to give the proper 4 feet for the loading dock along the building. So what we wanted to then do is look at, you know, the type of truck, which is we've designed it for a WB50. And what that did is when we had looked at the access in and out of the site, we said, okay, well, we're going to have to modify some curb islands to make sure we can efficiently move around the site safely and with the existing parking and not cause any problems, you know, with conflicts with existing parking stalls or traffic maneuvering. So basically what I'm gonna show you real quick is what we did here is we looked at the vehicles. This is exiting. This is entering. So basically the vehicles would come in, WB50, they would be able to drive in. And basically we eliminated the parking in this area here. So WB50 can pull in and back into the one of the two spaces. What that required us to do on a way out, it's basically just gonna go in around. So what that did when we looked at it is we basically said, okay, we need to shave a portion of the island off on one side, which we lost two parking spaces. We had to shave a little bit of this island off. And we then had to add the loading docks, and we had to stripe out a couple of parking spaces to allow for safe and efficient maneuvering of the WB50. And so one of the things we noticed too is we're going to increase impervious coverage ever so slightly to put the loading docks in. So to try to address, you know, stormwater management and impervious coverage through land cover management, we actually increased the islands. So we end up net reducing impervious coverage by the project by roughly, I think it's 63 or 65 square feet. So what we're trying to do is basically create a safe maneuvering, you know, for the truck while not impacting or adversely impacting stormwater. The only real change in maneuvering is that this is a two-way aisle right now. They would, this has got plenty of room to actually accommodate two-way, but to be, when the trucks are in the loading dock, they would be sticking out. So we're gonna make this a do not enter and basically make it a one that direct the traffic around the where the loading dock is going to occur. You can see we left a lot of room to make sure that this would safely operate. So in essence, what we're gonna do is we're gonna lose 35 spaces to accommodate this, but we're still exceeding the requirement by quite a bit. So the required number of spaces would be 70 and the proposed would still be at 218. So from a logistical perspective, in a maneuvering perspective, it really has very little impact on the overall site, except the area right in front of the loading dock. And it also, we've accommodated any necessary traffic maneuvering that we would have to do, in our opinion, to accommodate these trucks and safely keep the traffic flowing around the loading dock, and also to continue to provide the number of spaces, both standard spaces and handicap spaces. So in general, that's really, we're not exacerbating really anything when it comes to zoning. You know, the impervious coverage stays the same, the building's not being modified, the parking is conforming. So in general, all we're doing is basically accommodating some minor site changes to accommodate the WB50 and just to accommodate the maneuvering of the loading dock. And that's the overview. I believe there was a couple of reports issued. We really don't have any issues with anything in the reports. There was a question about whether the physical therapy was going to remain. I believe that was addressed during the architect's testimony. The stormwater management I believe have addressed by the fact that we are reducing impervious coverage. There was a question about the dry well, and basically we have proposed a dry well because the way it works out, this actually drains back towards the building. We're going to install a trench drain, and we're going to install a dry well that's actually quite oversized. And the one comment was about, can we send the overflow to the inlet? Well, the inlet's quite a distance away, so I like to work with your engineer to maybe figure out maybe a way of, you know, thinking about how to handle this, not having to pipe at 100 feet, but maybe providing multiple points of discharge, and maybe even actually installing a small inlet that would allow it to bubble off. Because if we were able to pitch this loading dock towards the parking lot, we would have. But because the finished floor was fixed and the parking lot was fixed, there was really no way to do that. And if we were able to do it, that runoff would just simply drain across and go into the gutter. So we're trying to maintain that same approach, but we are proposing a 10-foot diameter seepage pit that's only really catching the area associated with the loading docks. So it's got a significant size to area ratio for what we're collecting. All his other comments, I believe, about landscaping, we'll absolutely provide more detail on the landscaping. We will absolutely provide on the replacement trees. I believe we are removing 3 trees to accommodate these improvements. We will absolutely give him the types and species. And there was also some other comments about inspecting the curbs, both on the street and also on the site. I've inspected them. I didn't see really any issues, but I have no problem working with the engineer to see if he concurs with that assessment. And I also believe from an engineering perspective, I think the majority of the remaining comments really had to do with the landscaping, and I'm gonna make a commitment tonight that we would provide a detailed landscape plan that would address all his concerns with the species and types and the replacements and the additional street trees that he was requesting and other things like that. There was another report from Mr. Chadwick. I believe we have no issues with anything in his report. So I'll let that just stand that we will address or comply with that report's requirements. And that's really all I have.
Okay. Starting with Mr. Hinterstein first, are you satisfied with the testimony just given, Henry?
Yeah, for the most part, I still have concerns about the dry well. And again, a concentrated pipe just emptying out in that one location and what that may do in the winter time. Perhaps, again, it could be piped out in the other direction, perhaps with bubblers that go out into the lawn or landscape area before it maybe then cascades into the parking lot. But again, I'm sure the engineer would be more than happy to work with us on that and coming up with a solution. But the other concern is there is still the physical therapy chiropractor component of this building that's remaining. And my concern is I don't know if we've moved the handicap spaces further away, or it appears that they may have always been in that location. Because there is no ramp in the front of the building. So with this portion of the building now being converted to warehouse/office, how does somebody that may need to access the physical therapy/chiropractor area in a wheelchair or with some kind of disability get from the ADA spaces to the that side of the building? Are they crossing through a functioning warehouse? I mean, that's a concern. And then the other concern is, I don't know if we've touched on it. I imagine that you're in agreement that you're going to comply with the state's EV charging station ordinance.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, if we go back to the ADA aspect of it and the existing physical therapy use of the building and how that need that ramp or need to access the building in a wheelchair or some type of disability, how they're going to get from point A to point B through that building.
I can't really comment on the interior of the building. So what you're saying is if they parked here, they went up this ramp here, they entered here, how would they get here?
Correct.
The entrance, so not to, I've been over there, the entrance is around Laura Buckley. The entrance to the physical therapy place is where that circle is, all the way to the left of the site. There's no way that you're going to be able to walk through over there. I go there regularly.
You know, we've got almost twice the amount of parking required for these uses. Is part of the review of the landscaping that I agree with the comments of the expert and Henry. There must be a place where you get handicapped spaces closer to the entrance without, there's not going to be any deficiency of parking resulting from that.
I'm not concerned about the parking deficiency, John. I'm concerned that
I would suggest
there's no ramp in that front. A lot of stairs.
Yeah, they may have to go to the ramp.
Have to build one, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I would suggest that you make, if the board approves this,
make it subject to their agreement to comply with the reports and to relocate the handicapped spaces
or a few
to a reasonable proximity to the entrance.
Right there. I get it. I agree.
Instead of trying to do it at whatever time it is tonight, you know, let them sit down and kind of figure it out.
I'm sure we can figure out a way to accommodate that. I would have to look at it in more detail, but if the board chose to act positively on this application, I would have no problem working with the board professionals to figure that out.
Okay. Any other comments, John?
No.
Okay. Any other members of the board have any comments?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, if I may, just a quick question. In terms of that too, just I would ask just for the record too, that obviously the physical therapist is a tenant and there is a chance at some point their lease will expire or run out. So if we can just kind of make part of that condition that we do it in a logical way to make it make sense for everybody, obviously.
I'll let people on a bigger pay scale than me make that decision. So we'll figure it out.
Absolutely.
Okay. Any other members of the board have any questions for this expert? Okay, proceed, Mr. Spinarco.
That concludes.
In summary, if you want.
Sure, just a quick.
Mr. Iannelli, could you stop sharing your screen?
Oh, I'm really sorry about that.
No, that's okay.
There you go.
Thank you.
Just to briefly summarize, that concludes our testimony for the reasons we provided by the experts tonight. I would ask that the board look favorably upon our application and grant the relief requested.
Thank you. Any members of the board have any comments or questions about this application? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any questions or comments about this application? Ms. Buckley?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion. I'd make a motion to approve this application with the comments and testimony that was put forth tonight. Can I get a second?
Second.
Okay, call the roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
We will memorialize this at our next meeting on August 11th.
Thank you very much, everyone. Greatly appreciated.
Good night, gentlemen. Thank you. Let's move on to item number 15, adoption of resolutions from the regular meeting of June 23rd, 2022.
First resolution is Rinkesh Patel. This application was approved. Mr. Weissman?
You're muted, Steve.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Broke up, Jim.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Next is NYSMSA. This was 135 Fleming Street. Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Cahill?
Yes.
Next is 28 Howard Street, which was approved with conditions. Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka? Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Next is Mark Banha. This application was partially approved and partially denied. Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Those are all the resolutions I have for you because we did Lamori and Singh Hall earlier.
Gotcha. Okay, let's move to item 16, adoption of minutes from the regular meeting of June 23rd, 2022. All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Thank you. I'd make a motion to adjourn. Before we adjourn, I would personally like to thank Laura Buckley for joining us from her vacation. Very dedicated employee, and the residents of Piscataway did not know how good they have it with someone like you helping us out. So
I appreciate it.
Everyone have a great night. And we'll talk to you soon. I will not see you in August. I'm going to be on vacation, but I'm sure you're in good hands with Mr. Weissman.
Oh, you're telling me now? Okay, thanks.
Well, I'm just going to tell you on the 10th of August. Make it real trouble for you.
Enjoy the rest of your week. Bye, everybody.
You take care, guys. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Good night, everyone.
Night, all.
Good evening.
Bye.